Let's pray, and I'll just use part of Psalm 30 as my opening prayer. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. Lord, we ask that you would send the Holy Spirit to open our minds to understand your word. And the word this morning in Luke 19, when we see the great shepherd of the sheep calling out to his people. Help us to understand it, live it, and share this good news with others. All to the glory of your name. Amen. Well, the passage we're looking at today, if you'd like to follow along in your church Bible, is Luke 19, 1 to 10. It's on page 1496. 1496. We started this series on Luke's gospel back in September, and the first sermon was from the first few verses of Luke 1, of course, and in the opening verses, we hear Dr. Luke say that he wrote this book for his friend. His friend was named Theophilus, and he wanted to make sure that his friend knew that what he'd been taught about Jesus was accurate. According to the beginning of verse number 4 in chapter 1, Luke says, Theophilus, I want you to know the certainty of the things you have been taught. This is something that carries through the whole Gospel of Luke, the idea that we need to be sure about what we've been taught, about what we believe about Jesus. It needs to be absolutely clear. This is actually history, not just an opinion or fan fiction. This is history, the specific history of the one named Jesus, who fulfilled God's plan to save his people. Today we're in Luke 19, and we have this great story of a tax collector who climbs a tree. Wouldn't you love to see someone from the CRA climb a tree? That's maybe what you say sometimes when they, you know, when you get that thing in the mail, I don't know. This story of Zacchaeus is a living example of God's plan being fulfilled. It comes to pass in an event from everyday life. This is a story from everyday life. At the end of the passage today in Luke 19:10, Luke tells us exactly why the story of Zacchaeus is here. In verse 10, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." There it is. Put plainly, this story about Zacchaeus is an illustration of that exactly. It's an illustration of Jesus' mission. And his mission is summed up in his words. He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. Everything else he did in his ministry points to that central mission. Everything Jesus did pointed to that. He came to rescue people, to give them new life and a new hope. Before we think that he came to give those things only to the really good people, or the nice people, or the successful people, well, thankfully for the rest of us, we have Zacchaeus in the story. When we look at him, we see someone who's broken on the inside. He's broken. He's chasing after that god of money. He loves it. And because of that, he is hated by everybody else on the outside. This story in Luke 19 is a glimpse into how exactly Jesus seeks and saves real people. Not just 2,000 years ago during the gospel, but today as well. So we'll look at this passage first and then think about how it unfolds today in our own lives. 2 points I want to make really about the passage. The first one is this. Jesus invited himself into the home. Jesus invited himself into Zacchaeus' life. I don't know about you, but verses 5 and 6 there in the passage are dangerous verses to most of us. The idea of someone inviting themselves over for dinner, that's pretty weird. And then you agreeing to it, that's even weirder. Now, I know if I did that, I can hear my wife's voice in my head right now. Are you crazy? There's not enough food. I haven't planned it out. The dog's thrown up. The house is a mess. You're crazy. For most of us, we like to plan these things out. We want to plan out the menu, buy the food, cook the meal, get the house ready, make sure the kids are on their best behavior, lock the dog in the bedroom, and put out the best china. In other words, we want to do the inviting ourselves. We want to invite someone to come into our home so we can put our best foot forward when the guest arrives. We want control over the situation. But with Jesus, He turns that around. He responds to Zacchaeus' curiosity, and he stops next to the tree. Can you imagine the scene? He's walking along, and he sees this little short guy who's climbed the tree, and he stops. He could have kept walking, but he didn't. He stopped because he knew that Zacchaeus was drawn to him. Zacchaeus was curious. He put effort into climbing the tree. So listen to the words. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Notice those two words there, immediately and must. Why those words? Well, it seems that that day in Jericho, that was Zacchaeus' time. That was his moment. And Jesus said, why wait around? He's curious. He's ready. It's time. It was a good day to take a hated man's life and turn it upside down and inside out and make him new. Since Jesus came to seek and save the lost, why not save this one that's climbed a tree to see him? Jesus uses the imagery that we heard about last week in Luke 15 about the lost sheep and the lost coin. Zacchaeus was one of the ones who'd wandered away, one of the sheep. He was one of the coins who'd been dropped. And when Jesus went looking for him, he called him by name. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, Jesus says that his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know the voice. And the implication here is really clear. When Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus in the tree, Zacchaeus responded because he recognized the voice. He recognized the voice of the shepherd, even though he hadn't met him before. That's why he jumped down so quickly and took Jesus to his home. We could even say here, I think, that Zacchaeus' home represents his heart or his life. So Jesus invited himself into Zacchaeus' life as he walked along the road. And Zacchaeus responded to the invitation because he recognized the voice. He recognized the voice as the voice of his leader, his king, his savior. And it's important here to hold on to that biblical principle that whenever a lost sheep does come home, whenever someone does come back to the faith or comes to the faith for the first time, it's because the shepherd has already been out there looking and calling. That always comes first. The sheep never make the first move. The lost coin doesn't magically climb back into the purse, back into the wallet. It's being looked for. Zacchaeus responded for that very reason, because the shepherd called him by name. It started with an invitation. That's the first one. Jesus invited himself. And the second thing is this. Jesus then turned the man away from isolation. Isolation from God and isolation from his neighbors. We know that Zacchaeus was rich. Luke tells us here that he was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy. What that means is that in those days, you controlled the revenue and it was kind of acceptable practice to skim things off the top for yourself. So he was corrupt, he was getting rich at his neighbor's expense, and he worked for the Romans. That was a lethal combination, so he was hated. We can hear the anger and the frustration from the crowd in verse number 7. They say, after they see Jesus going to his home, they say, well, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. And that's right, isn't it? That's the truth. That's the glorious truth that Jesus invited himself into the crooked man's home. Not only that, but the biggest crook in town. But then we see the grace and the healing power that Jesus brings into a life, into Zacchaeus' life here in Luke 19. Not only did Jesus look for him and call him, but he changed his outlook by coming into his life. All of a sudden, Zacchaeus was grateful. He responded to this gift by being grateful, and he proved the change of heart by doing something radical, I mean, even crazy. Look at verse number 8, where he proves that he's changed when he says, "Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." All of a sudden, Mrs. Zacchaeus looks at the bank account the next day, and it's a lot thinner than it used to be. Half of it's gone. There's no doubt he cheated people, so he's paying back four times the amount. That's a complete and radical change. This tells us that Zacchaeus changed at the deepest level, the level of the heart and the mind. His view of God changed. Because of that, his view of money changed, and his view of his neighbors changed. He was a completely changed man. His wealth didn't have control of him anymore, and he proved it by giving most of it away. We can only imagine the difference this must have made in Jericho when Zacchaeus wandered down to the market or the local coffee shop. Some would have smiled, some would have thought he'd gone absolutely bonkers, and some would have been curious about the reasons. He probably was never the most popular man in town after this. Followers of Jesus are not necessarily the most popular, but no one could deny the change. Whether you agreed with it or not, whether you liked it or not, no one could deny the change. He had a new love for God, and he had an obvious love for his neighbor. And that's enough. That's enough for any followers of Jesus, to show our love for God by how we then love our neighbor, sacrificing and serving them. Then we come to the climax of the story. It hasn't even happened yet. Verse number 9, Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham," which is a reference back to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, the great story of Abraham, where Abraham believed what God was telling him, and God said, "You're right with me because of that. You're right." In Luke 19, Jesus Christ came to a home. That means a heart or a life. He blessed it with the gift of new life and freedom from the thing we call sin. Zacchaeus was set free. Set free to love God, set free from the false god of money, and brought back into community with his neighbors. He now saw his neighbors in a completely different way. Not as people to be taken advantage of, but as people to be a neighbor to and to serve. That's Luke 19 in its context 2,000 years ago. What about today? The obvious difference between Luke 19 and us today is that Jesus isn't literally walking down the street, inviting himself into people's homes. But he's still seeking and saving the lost. He's still doing that because that's what he does. He never stops doing that. He's on the street in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he has his people called disciples living in a neighborhood next to people like Zacchaeus. Here's how it might go today. Jesus will move in a person's life and stir their thoughts in the direction of God. And that might happen in any number of ways. Maybe it's a medical diagnosis that is very challenging. Maybe it's a job loss or a marriage breakdown. Or maybe it's through something positive like a birth or a promotion. In all these situations, Jesus might move in a person's heart and mind. When that happens, the person is like Zacchaeus in verse 3, where Luke says he wanted to see who Jesus was. God was moving in his life before he saw Jesus. He was curious. We might even call that hope. Maybe hope that God might have something to bring to the situation I'm in right now. This challenging situation with my health or my family or my work. Maybe God has something to say about that. Maybe it's a hope that there is something that my Christian neighbor knows that I don't know that might help me in this situation. Whatever the situation, God moves. The modern day Zacchaeus becomes aware of a slight pull in God's direction. And maybe there's a new openness to learning about God. Little story about this that happened here about a year ago in the church. A stranger appeared in the office and wanted to look inside the building. So I said, "Sure, great." I gave her a tour and asked her if she had a minute to talk. I was curious about who she is. Is she local? What does she do for a living? She said that she was curious about Jesus. And I said, "Well, that's great. Yeah, tell me more about that." She said, "Well, I've never been inside a church before. I don't know anything about Jesus. I was just walking by and I felt drawn to come into the building." Great. Don't need much more than that. I don't really care if someone wants to come in because they love the architecture. Come on in. That's great. That's how God works. Now, I wish I could tell you that she's a growing disciple today. I would love to have her stand up now and and we would all give her a big hug. I can tell you that it was an opportunity to talk with her, invite her to come back and have coffee. It was an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with her. It was an opportunity to give her a New Testament to read and then offer again to meet anytime, any place, and talk more about what she was reading in the New Testament. I don't know what's going on with her now, but I do know that that was a moment when the Lord moved and she responded. And it's not a small thing. It may seem like it to us because we're disciples. But for her, it was a big thing because she'd never been inside a church before and she had no idea who Jesus is. I'm encouraged by those little movements in a person's life because it might be leading to something more, something deeper. At our annual synod meeting last week in Ottawa, I was told by a friend that according to one Canadian researcher, it takes an average of 6 years for a person to come to faith in Christ. 6 years. I had to reflect on that, and I had to admit that I think I often give up before the six-year mark. I stop praying. I stop serving. I stop hoping and believing that God will speak to the lost sheep that I know. I do that to my shame. But we shouldn't do that, should we? We shouldn't do that. Because who knows where we might meet a person like that who's feeling a call towards God. It may be at the five-year mark. And we may be the one that helps them meet the Savior. Who knows how our own experience with Christ might help them make a similar move. The other way God works is to mobilize His church to engage with the neighbors. We see basic hospitality in Luke 19 from Zacchaeus to Jesus, welcoming him in with warmth and enthusiasm. This is so important and probably one of the most important things we could do. One of the most important things, because our culture increasingly sees Christian teaching as irrelevant and maybe a bit dangerous. But hospitality is a winning card to play, because who doesn't like warm hospitality? Who doesn't like to be invited over for dinner? Who doesn't like a casserole delivered after a death in the family? Who doesn't like some help when they're struggling? Or who doesn't like a party when they have something to celebrate? The answer is everybody loves that. Nobody refuses that kind of an offer. Even if someone doesn't understand your motivation, they'll appreciate it and they will remember it. You can be sure and confident that God will use your efforts to seek and save His beloved sheep. He doesn't do this magically. He shows up, and He shows up in the power of the Holy Spirit working through His people, His followers. He has us in the world for a reason, and it's not to serve ourselves. It's not to protect ourselves. God has us in the world to seek and save the lost and to hold out these precious words of eternal life for those who are thirsty. So we do the serving and the inviting, and God does the saving. We leave that up to Him. After all, they're His sheep, and His sheep know His voice. It just becomes a question of our commitment, our willingness, our desire, our energy to serve the lost sheep, and serve them in such a way that they don't feel judged right away. They feel loved, they feel cared for, they feel valued as people. When we serve like that, there's a good chance that they'll hear the shepherd calling them by name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of being members of Your body, the body of Christ. Lord, we pray that our efforts to serve You would be blessed, and as we reach out in love to our neighbors, would You please work through us to call Your sheep back home, not for our glory, but for the glory of Your name. Amen.